Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Alabama, and welcome to The Flatline. This is your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned. It could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show is about motivation, inspiration, and education, and as usual, we do it always without any manipulation. That means we have no hidden agendas, nothing for you to join, we're not soliciting money, we're not selling anything. It's simply a show about truth, and that is the truth of the Word of God. So The Flatline has been airing now for almost a year in the Birmingham area. It's the show that we have brought to you through WERC. You're always welcome to contact me if you'd like to by going to the Internet and typing in your web browser. Just simply bigrick.org. That'll take you to my website, and you can email me from the website. If you'd like to write a letter, you're welcome to do that as well. We don't need you to send any money. We're not asking you for money, but we always like to hear from our listeners if the Lord is showing you something or we give you some information that is helping you in your life. You simply write to Rick Hughes. And the address is P.O. Box 100. Pretty simple, huh? Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100. The city that I live in is Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell, Alabama. And our zip code is 35054. The announcer will give you that again at the end of the show, and if you'd like to contact us, feel free to do so. We'd be glad to send you any of the books that we've written. We've written several. They're all free of charge. Now today we're going to give a special show to you, a special show about the My Way Highway. And before we get into that, let me remind our listeners and those that may be tuning in for the first time what the FLOT line is. FLOT is a military acronym which stands for Forward Line of Troops. The whole concept of this show is about you and me, that we deploy the Word of God in the forward compartments of our soul, so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress. We've stressed over and over and over again on this show that adversity is inevitable, however stress is optional. Because adversity is what circumstances do to you, and yet stress, that's what you do to yourself. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you do not have to have any stress. You can find a way to live that's wonderful. It's a way to utilize the problem-solving devices found in the Word of God, and we've been able to identify at least 10 of them for you. And if you learn those problem-solving devices and deploy them on the flat line of your soul, even though you may face the outside pressure of adversity, you will not succumb to the inside pressure of stress, and that's what our show has always been about. I know we don't have a lot of listeners. I have no way of gauging. The station tells me there's a few people listening. But I believe God brings the right people at the right time. And maybe you're the person that the Lord wanted to hear this message today. I really don't know. But we're talking about the My Way Highway. Today we want to talk about happiness, the one thing that everybody in America wants, the one thing we all seek, the thing we all want is to be happy. I wrote a little pamphlet called Happiness. Many years ago, I heard a testimony by a very famous individual, and he said some facts in that testimony. I've even quoted him in this pamphlet. But one of the things that he said was that in 1996, a survey commissioned by the Horatio Alger Association and conducted by the Info Research Group included about 1,000 young people who represented a cross-section of America's youth. And they were asked one question. That question is this: what one thing do you want more than anything else in life? And of course, the number one answer was, I want to be happy. That's what people want. They just want to be happy. It's the number one feel-good emotion in America, and most people are willing to pay big bucks for it. I know that people often say the difference between the man and the boy is the price that he pays for his little toy. And that may be true, especially if you have a hunting habit or a fishing habit or a golf habit. Those things are not cheap. And we all enjoy being outdoors, and we all enjoy doing those things, and we don't mind paying the price. But we understand that that is not the source of our happiness. Happiness is the number one feel-good emotion in America today. There is no doubt about that. And people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't need to impress people they don't even like. That's the funny thing about it. I'm going to say that again. We spend money we don't have to buy what we don't need to impress the ones that we don't even like. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that strange? Now, if you're in this frantic search for happiness, if you're in the competitive sort of, you know, keep up with the Joneses sort of deal, then that would apply to you, but it might not apply to you either. So the one principle that I want to give you today as we talk about some of these things is that happiness is not related to people, nor is it related to circumstances. That's a very important thing that you remember. Happiness is not related to people, and it's not related to circumstances. The person that I heard give this message quoted Elvis Presley, and he said that Elvis was once asked if he was happy with all of his riches and all of his fame. Now, to quote the man that I heard this message from, he said, "Elvis replied, 'No, I'm lonely as hell.'" Isn't that a shocking answer from one of the richest, most famous celebrities in the world? And he could not conquer loneliness. John D. Rockefeller was asked the same question after he made his first $1 billion. Here was his answer. "I've made millions, but they brought me no happiness." You believe that? Two famous people that had all the money they could have, and they are not happy. Today, there are television shows that you can watch called, they talk about their home with a reality show. You can watch something about Hulk Hogan on television, Hogan Rules or something like that, and you go into his house and watch his family. You can watch My Digs and the celebrities, the rap stars, the rock and roll singers, the extreme game athletes and the professional athletes, and you can see their homes, and you can see how many cars they have, and you can see how lavishly they live. It's all for one reason, to be happy. Unfortunately, those are not the trappings of happiness. Those are the emotional things that make you feel good, and when you lose those things, then maybe you don't feel so good. I don't know. But the problem is that unhappy people tend to take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Unhappy people tend to take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Now, here's the bottom line. If you're unhappy where you work and you say, "I hate my job and I hate my boss and I hate how far I have to drive to get to it. I want a new job. I want a new boss. I don't want to drive so far." And so you get a new job. If you're unhappy at the old job, you're going to be unhappy at the new job. It's not about where you work. It's about who you are. That's the problem. You say, "Well, if I could just get a new car, I'd be happy." You get your new car, and you're not happy. It's just still the same problem. You see, it's not related to a new car. It's not related to a new job. Now, here's one that I hear often. "I think I'll go to another church. I'm not happy here. Preacher doesn't seem to recognize me. It's too big. I don't know anybody, and I like a smaller church." People get unhappy at church. Unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Whatever's making you unhappy at the one you go to now, you're going to be the same person when you go to the next one. It's not about where you go to church, whether that makes you happy or not. It's not about what you drive. It's not about where you work. It's about who you are. Now, the Bible talks about having happiness. The Bible talks about having joy. The Bible talks about all of these things, and there is no doubt God intended for you to be happy. God didn't want you to live your life miserable. God doesn't want you to live your life deprived of any happiness, and He's made everything available to you. And in the Bible, it's called joy. It's called rejoice. And happiness is often translated for one of these two words. The actual Greek word of the New Testament that is translated joy or rejoice is a Greek word called chara. That's C-H-A-R-A. Chara. And chara means to have complete contentment. You see, joy needs a connector. Joy needs something to connect it to. In other words, I'm happy because I got the car. I'm happy because I got the this. I'm happy because I got to that. But the joy that God's talking about does not need a connector. It's a different sort of joy. See, something may give you joy right now, and the question is, what is it? What's giving you the joy? Is it your money? Are you happy because you just got a raise? Are you happy because you've got a few $1,000s in the bank? Are you happy because you've been successful in your job and your boss is not griping at you right now? Some people are happy just to be left alone. They want their space. They don't want to be crowded, and so they want to get out and be alone. Leave me alone. I want to go to the woods. I want to get on the water. I want to get on the golf course. I want to go to the movie. I just want to be left alone. But the happiness the Bible talks about is not that sort of happiness. It's a different type of happiness. The happiness the Bible talks about actually could be described as contentment. And that's something totally different. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I'm in, to be content." He did say, "I have learned," didn't he? Learned. You see, the happiness that we're talking about is a learned state of mind. You have to learn something. That's why Jesus said in Luke 11, 27 and 28, "Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it." You have to learn something. You have to learn about the hope and the confidence that you have in the integrity of God. There are actually three hopes, and the first hope is the confidence. When we say the word hope, that's a Greek word called elpis, and it doesn't mean I hope it doesn't rain today. Hope in the Greek, or elpis, as the Greek New Testament uses that word, is absolute assurance, absolute confidence. It's not hope if, it's hope and I know. So hope is something that you learn. You learn, like when I got saved, I hoped I would go to heaven when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But as I learned the Bible, I had absolute confidence that I was going to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall anyone ever pluck them out of my Father's hand." Paul wrote, "Even if we believe not, yet God still will abide faithful, because he cannot deny himself." These are verses that give me absolute confidence that my faith in Jesus Christ will take me to heaven. I had to learn those things, and that gave me contentment to where I didn't think about every 2 weeks I needed to be saved again. Oftentimes, people that have no assurance of their salvation, who are not content that they're really saved at all, constantly are asking God to save them. They're never really sure. And that's why the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that you're to put on the helmet of salvation. You see, what this is this is secure thinking, because this is one of the areas that Satan will attack in you. He will try to get you to think that maybe you're not saved. Maybe you've done something that made God get upset with you, and he took it away from you now, and you don't have it anymore. Or maybe you can't really know for sure. Or maybe I really wasn't saved when I asked Christ to do it the first time. So it's all the doubt, you see. And if you're ever going to be content, if you're ever going to have this virtue of contentment in your life, you're going to have to do what Paul said. "For not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned." I have learned. He had to learn something. "In whatever state I am in," this is what he learned, "whatever state I'm in, I want to be content," or "I will be content." Contentment is not related to circumstances nor to people. It's related to the fidelity of God. Wherever you are right now, whatever your circumstances are right now, you should have phenomenal joy. Number one, because God saved you. And number two, because God will never abandon you. And he is faithful. He's never going to put anything on you too much for you to handle. And whatever he puts on you, he gives you the ability to deal with it. And these are things that refine you, the things that he lets come into your life. So how is it that we learn contentment? Okay, I want to have this contentment. I want to have this happiness. I want to be able, in spite of my circumstances, not to be miserable, not to be unhappy, not to be moody. How do I get that? Well, listen to what the Bible says in Romans 5:3. It says, "We glory in our trials because we know that our trials," or our testing, or our tribulation, "these things produce patience, and that patience produces a proof of our character. And this is the virtue that makes us absolutely confident." Again, listen to me. I glory in my trials and my tribulations and the suffering that I go through, because this produces patience, Romans 5:3. And then patience produces proof of my character. And this is the virtue that makes us absolutely confident. What is the virtue? Patience. And how do I get the patience or the contentment or the confidence to trust God? The trials that I go through, the testing that I face. So let me give you some principles here. One, God designed you to be happy, but never apart from Him. God designed you to be happy, but never apart from Him. Two, by the way, before I go to point two, if you're seeking happiness in a car or in your home or in your children or in your grandchildren, apart from God, you're never going to be happy. You can have temporal happiness. Yes, I'm not saying that. You can have temporal happiness. Temporal happiness will not last. When things change, your happiness will leave you. But the happiness that I'm talking is not temporal. It's permanent. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of the environment, in spite of the situation, this sort of happiness doesn't gripe. It doesn't complain. It doesn't moan. It is content with what God puts into its life. That's what I'm talking about. So God designed you to be happy, but not apart from Him. In other words, if you want to have this sort of happiness in your life that I'm talking about, it's centered in the person of Jesus Christ and in your relationship you have with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Now here's the second principle. Satan will lie to you, and he will tell you that people and circumstances will make you happy. So he will tell you if you're just in that clique, you could be happy. See, I remember when I was in high school and I went to Woodlawn High School here in Birmingham back in the 60s, and I remember there was a clique of people from over in the Crestwood area, and they were the haves. And then I was from over in the Woodlawn area, I was the have-nots. And they had the new stuff and we didn't have. They were the rich kids. They were so rich their new houses cost $25,000. That was a new house back in those days. Can you believe that? $25,000 for the finest home in Crestwood. Those same homes today are probably selling for $200,000, still in the same neighborhood, just different times, aren't they? Well, Satan will tell you, if you lived over in that neighborhood, you'd be happy. Satan used to tell me as a kid, if you had a daddy, you'd be happy. See, I never had a daddy. Never knew my father. And so sometimes I'd go to visit my friends, and I'd see their daddies, and they looked like they were happy. Man, that didn't make me happy, having a daddy or not having a daddy. That's the lie that Satan tells you. If you lived in that part of town, if you lived over there in Chelsea, you'd be happy, where all the rich people live. If you lived over Mountain Brook, you'd be happy. If you lived out there, you'd be... No, you wouldn't. That's not the key to happiness. Circumstances and people cannot make you happy. Money can give you the ability to be miserable in a different part of town, that's for sure. Here's the third principle. What did I just say? I said money gives you the ability to be miserable in a different part of town. Why did I say that? Because I've already told you that unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. Three, here's the third principle. It's a great one. This is like a mirage in the desert, this false happiness that Satan offers you. It's like a mirage in the desert. It looks real, but when you get there, you find out it was all an illusion. It looks real, but when you get there, you find out it was all an illusion. Why is it you think you'd be happy if you could win the lottery? You say, well, I could pay all my bills off. Well, don't you realize you'd be a different sort of unhappiness? Then you'd have to worry about all your money and what you're going to do with it. And then you'd have to worry about how much of it the government's going to get. Then you'd have to worry about how to move to Florida so you wouldn't have to pay state income tax on what you want. Then you'd have to, see, you got a whole different set of circumstances. Oh, yeah, you'd move, get a new house, move to a new part of town, maybe even move out of state. You're not going to be any happier because you won the lottery. Matter of fact, most lottery winners are pretty miserable. Read about it all the time in the paper, don't you? But you've convinced yourself that you would be happy. Right. You see, that's a mirage. Just like you're thirsty in the desert and you say, oh, there's a water hole. There's some trees. Let me get over there. And you get there and it's not there. It's still the same stuff you were in before you went running over there. So here's the fourth principle. This is what the world offers you. You chase it, but you never quite get it. It keeps eluding you. What is it? It's happiness. I want to be happy. I'm trying to be happy, but I'm not happy. Well, divine joy is a state of the soul which is characterized by contentment and capacity for life. That's the happiness we're talking about. Divine joy is a state of the soul which is characterized by contentment and capacity for life. Your soul has four parts: mentality, volition, conscience, and self-conscience. It's the state of your mentality that I'm talking about. It's the peace and the contentment that comes from knowing God's in charge, from knowing Jesus Christ lives in you and empowers you. And it gives you the capacity to enjoy your life because the monkey's off your back. The ball's in the Lord's court. You don't have to worry about this stuff anymore. It's all been provided by the Father for you. And so you can have great contentment. Here's the sixth principle. There are many blessings that God would like to give to you, but He cannot. And the reason that He cannot is because you're not content yet. And all of these blessings, if God poured them out on you, it would only confuse you. Yes, there are things God would like to do for you. There's a prosperity doctrine that floats around the church today that works off of the concept called seed faith. And if you give seed faith and money to the church, that God will give it back to you. And they preach this quite often. I remember Jim Baker in the PTL club. You remember Jim and Tammy Faye? He wrote a book called I Was Wrong. And in that book, he refuted this whole concept of seed faith and the way that he got into it. But it's still out there today. And there are people that say to you, if you'll give to God, He'll give back to you much, much more. And this is how you get rich, and this is how you get happiness, to have the money, to have the fine cars, the fine clothes. And that's a lie. There are many things God would like to give you, but the reason He can't give them to you is you don't have the capacity to handle them yet. They would only distract you. You're not content with what you have. You see, God can't pour anything into your cup until you're content with what you have to start with. Because if you're not content, then whatever God gives you is only going to destroy you. You understand that? Whatever God pours into your cup, if you're not content, it's only going to distract you, destroy you. You can't handle it. So you say, well, why won't God do this or why won't God do that? Because you're not ready. You can't handle it yet. You would either take the credit for it yourself, or you would either blow what He gave you, or you wouldn't understand why you got it to start with. I know a lot of wealthy people, and a lot of them understand why God made them wealthy and what the reason for it was, and it wasn't just to spend it all on themselves, that's for sure. And I know a lot of people that have a lot of money who do spend it all on themselves. Interesting, isn't it? So, the seventh point, the spiritual life is where this state of joy or happiness exists, because it will carry over into your physical life. See, there are two lives you're living. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're living a spiritual life and you're living a physical life. The physical life, well, that's short at best. Maybe you'll make it to 70 plus. I hope you do. I hope I do. Who knows? But the spiritual life, that's what endures forever. And this contentment and this capacity for living and this joy and this happiness is all in the spiritual life. And when you have the strength in your spiritual life, then it carries over into your physical life. That's when people begin to notice the difference in your life. And so this is where it all starts. It's in your spiritual life. So if you ignore your spiritual life, then you're never going to be happy in your physical life. I'm going to say that again. If you ignore your spiritual life, you're never going to be happy in your physical life. Well, what kind of commitments do you have in your spiritual life? I think Jesus said it best when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy, are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. See, there are two wonderful promises there. If you'll learn of me, I'll give you rest. Now, what did Paul say? I've learned. You want to know what the secret to the spiritual life is? It's learning the Word of God and applying it into your life so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress. It's learning what are the wonderful problem-solving devices God provided for you. It's learning what are the irrevocable assets that God gave you the moment you believed in Jesus Christ. It's learning what hope and confidence in God is. It's learning what the plan of God and the will of God for your life is. It's learning how to execute the Christian life under the protocol plan of God so that you don't show up in heaven a loser, blowing every opportunity to glorify God. You never did it. Why? Because you never oriented and adjusted to the plan of God. That's why we have this show, to verify and identify what that plan is so that you can orient and adjust and you can get into what we call lag time. Lag time, L-A-G. What's that? Learn, apply, and glorify, as a friend of mine says. Learn, apply, and glorify. That's what our life is about. And so, here's a principle I want you to remember. In the physical side of life, much of our activity is nothing but a narcotic to deaden the pain of our empty life. Much of our activity is nothing but a narcotic to deaden the pain of an empty life. True happiness is the joy of knowing Jesus Christ and the joy of having forgiveness with sin. See, God designed you to be happy, but not apart from Him. He's your Creator. He's your Heavenly Father. But your sins have separated you from Him. That's why the Bible says there's none, not even one, who does good. Romans 3:12. Because this is a problem that only God can solve. And solve it He did. You see, the solution was found in John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world that He loved us, and He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believed in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the greatest happiness you could ever enjoy, to live with God eternally. You see, through the miracle of the virgin birth and the life of sinless perfection, Jesus Christ our Lord was qualified to satisfy the perfect righteousness of God. Because God demanded full and complete payment for sin, He had to. His justice demanded that. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one without spot or blemish, went to the cross as our substitute, and satisfied the justice of God when He was judged for our sins. Not just for mine, not just for yours, but for the sins of the whole world. He paid for all of our sins because He loved us. Have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you received Him as your Savior? If you haven't done it, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. You just simply tell God the Father in your own words that you're believing in His Son. And that will be the moment you're saved. Because the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's why a simple act of faith like that can give you the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ is happiness. And when you know Him, you have happiness that never leaves you. I pray this show has encouraged you. I pray it's enlightened you. And I pray you'll come back next week and listen to The Flatline. Until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at bigrick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.